Okay, so what I'm going to try and do today, is get to the point. Why is this a podcast? I'm not sure how fast I get to the point, but I will do my utmost best to get there as soon as humanly possible. So we know about the letters. I know about the letters. And at some stage, I'm writing my book. So this book is super, super, incredibly fucking super important to me. And so at some stage, I am finishing my introduction, the one that is also here in the one of the episodes, the intro. But I want to make it spectacular. I don't just want to send a document. I want to actually give it the feeling of a book, and specifically for one friend. Avi, you're useless. I'm sorry, but it's true. Avi is the kindest, sweetest, most beautiful person on this earth, but he's useless when it comes to communication. And I know that he is extremely busy, so I ask him a few times, because his opinion matters to me, okay? A lot. And I don't know why, but it doesn't matter. So I ask him if he wants to be a part of my proofreading crew. It's not a team, it's a crew, because I'm gonna need these people. And so my team consists of my mother, my landlady, Avi, Kale, and a good friend, Wallace. Five people that are gonna get me through this book, start to finish. And I tell them that if you say yes to becoming a member of my proofreading crew, you need to be honest, brutally honest, because I need to get to the end of this book and I cannot get there alone. So this introduction, and so I asked Avi if he wants to be a part of it, and he's apprehensive, okay, people? Very apprehensive. So he's like, can I read the first part or the first chapter or something? And I feel that he is not really into it. So we make a deal. And I say to him, I say, I'll send you my intro. And if it's absolutely crap, you don't have to read a letter of the book ever again. But if you like it, you are a part of the team, or the crew, better, forever. Like, you will have to be at my disposal 24/7. He's never even read the message, I think. Anyway, he never reads messages. But every now and again, he just pops up and he says, hello, beautiful, how are you? Actually, he says cutie, but doesn't matter. But he doesn't read any messages, doesn't listen to voice notes, nothing. Last one I send him is from 2 weeks ago, after he asked me, can you send it to me because I'm going on a plane on Thursday, which I think actually was last week Thursday, but anyway, I hope he's not still on the plane. And he asked me if I can send it to him. And I'm honest, I'm always honest, people. And I send him a voice note and I say to him, well, yes, technically I can do that, but the intro is like more of a reenactment. I've done it before. So if you don't have time for it, then it will have to wait. He hasn't listened to the voice notes, so he has no idea what's going on. It's like a week and a half ago. Thank you, Avi. But because before I decided to reenact my introduction to every person that wants to hear it, I was still in my head planning on sending him just a PDF version. But the PDF version, like I said, needed to be spectacular. So I grabbed the folder from my grandfather, and the three top letters, it's actually in one of my stories on, or was in one of my stories on Instagram, I grabbed the three top letters out and I sort of drape them on the table with the envelopes, and I start taking pictures. I don't read them. I've never seen these letters before. One of the letters is from my Uncle Carl, and it starts with something: dear, holiday, vakantiegangers. I don't know, there is no word for in English, but anyway, hello, holiday people. And it is sent from Australia on the 3rd of February 2009, which is 'm sorry, I read something about someone that's passed away. I'm sorry. That is, anyway, it doesn't, this is the exact reason why this is a podcast. Okay, people, I'm about to cry, but I'm not going to. It's a letter from 2009, and I don't read it, but I'm disappointed immediately because I see the date. It's not an old letter, so it's probably, in my mind, it's going to be crap. Okay, so I don't read them, I just take pictures. And then I see two other letters, and they look formal. And I say that because they're both signed officially, like with pen. Is it pen? Let me feel. It's definitely, yes, this person has definitely signed these papers. And it is Mr. or Mrs., but I'm going to assume it's Mr. Schoolmeesters. So I have two envelopes with two separate letters from Mr. Schoolmeesters from Venlo. And Venlo is the town or the city that my grandfather was born in. And so these letters are on the table, and one of the letters, the first letter from Mr. Schoolmeesters from the 7th of July 2008, has like a formal heading, and it says board member committee India monument. So Indonesia used to be called Nederlands India. So when I say India, I mean Indonesia, now Indonesia. Okay, and this person, Schoolmeesters, is a board member of the committee India Monument Venlo and something committee. So I'm assuming also board member committee Veteran Day Venlo. And I see this and I think, oh, this must have something to do with Indonesia. And there's another letter from the same person on the 25th of August, from the 25th of August 2008. And it says, it starts with, dear Sir Rukens, recently I received from you the questionnaire that I sent you. Anyway, he basically calls my grandfather a big old liar because he says, you said this and this and this, and it's all bullshit. That's what he's saying. And it's strange because my grandfather, well, I have 100 letters from him from 80 years ago, roughly. So he documented a lot. When my grandfather passed away, we found boxes, Tupperware boxes or Curver boxes, full of old agendas. Just with little scribbles like going to buy flowers at the Albert Heijn, or he bought flowers for someone's birthday or whatever. He documented everything, everything, everything. Why he lied to this person, I have no idea, but, and that's the beauty, you and I hope with you, I mean plural, but even if it's just my mother, thank you for listening, mommy, we're gonna find this out together. This is going to be a treasure hunt. And you know why? Because the biggest freaking treasure that I have already found without reading any of the letters that I'm staring at right now, I found out 2 weeks ago So you've, if you have not listened to the introduction, so the episode's called Intro, One More Thing, listen to it. It's important for this episode. You have to know that the only information we have ever had in my family is that my grandfather's mother passed away. I think it was before the war, because I think it was a childbirth. So I think it was longer ago, but it doesn't matter. I'm exaggerating a tiny little bit in the introduction, and I'm saying he lost his mother, he lost his father, and he lost his elder brother. So they're all true, but his mother passed away before the Second World War. I think his dad passed away in an era or a period that we call in the Netherlands the Hunger Winter. It was the last winter before the Netherlands got liberated. And a lot of people die because it is a very extremely harsh winter. And there's just literally no food. No food for no one. So people die. If you don't have food, you die. And his brother, and I don't know, no one has ever told me this, but his brother got missing, Uncle Carl. And I don't know if he was missing for a week or a decade, I have no clue. But the moment that my grandfather decides to go to Indonesia, he does not know where his elder brother is. Could be dead, could be in the Bahamas, no one knows. So I see this letter from Mr. Schoolmeesters and I start reading. And I start reading because I'm intrigued that there are two letters. And the first letter, he basically introduces himself and he says that he is making, heb ik een aantal jaren geleden, an overview. He has made an overview of the people from Venlo, so the people that were born in Venlo and served as, so I want to say soldier, that's probably not the right term in whatever military terms, but I'm just going to say soldier because he says militair, that's the Dutch word, and in English the word is definitely not militair, so I'm going to say soldier. So the people from Venlo that have served in het voormalige Nederlands India, so the former Dutch Indonesian colony. And he says, okay, blah, blah, blah. That is the first like two lines of the letters. And then there is another line, something about agglomeration. Anyway, some cities or towns have like morphed together. And so he's expanding his research. And then the third paragraph starts with, or the third sentence starts with, the name of you and your brother, I found it in the, what is it called, thuiskomstberichten. So it is published in newspaper at the time that people make it home safely, like as an announcement, because obviously everyone was missing. So as soon as people would return home safely, it was announced in Het Dagblad voor Noord-Limburg, in this case. I've sort of tiny little bit skipped over the fact that it said your brother, because as soon as I read that, I drop the letters, I get flustered, I start sweating, and I call my mother immediately. People might think I've always been super close to my mother. This is not true. I'm calling my mother the last few months so often that even my mother gets confused. She picks up the phone nowadays with, yes? I'm like, what else? Is there something else? See, one more thing. Like the book. That's me and my mother right now. And I say to her, first thing I say, I'm like, did you know that Uncle Carl was in Indonesia? No. My mom's like, no, he wasn't. It's like, he was. No, he wasn't. He was missing. I was like, Well, I know that, but he was missing in Indonesia. Impossible, my mother says. In freaking possible. I said, well, okay. I said, but I have a letter here from the 7th of July, 2008, from board member of the committee, bloody bloody, Mr. Schoolmeesters, and he is saying this. And my mother is quiet. And she starts, I see that she's thinking. I see that she's going through every single memory in her head. And she's trying to get to certain information that she wants to have, but she just doesn't have. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. My dad used to be in the army or in the navy for quite some time, about a decade, I think. And him and my grandfather, I wouldn't say grew up together. No, my dad's not the same age as my grandfather. I think I already said it somewhere. My parents were neighbors, or not entirely neighbors. Their backyards would basically almost be attached to each other. So one was living on one side of the street, one was living on the other side of the street, and the only thing that separated the two backyards was a small alleyway. So whenever we would go to my grandparents, we would go to all four. One was living on number 2, and the other one was living on number 22. So they know each other, right? And they've both served in the army. My grandfather lived until 2009. 19? 2019? Have I said somewhere 2009? I think, is that in my introduction that my grandfather passed in 2009? This is not true, people. If that's what it says, it's a complete lie. My grandfather dies 10 years later in 2019. Oh, if I really wrote that down, then you know how bad the situation is. Okay. But my dad also, so he chimes into the conversation and also does not know this fact. And everyone also knows Uncle Carl. So talk about not talking in our family. We're very good at not saying things to each other. Very good. So anywho, I find something out without even touching the letters that this book is supposedly about, and I discover something immense. And then this whole thing, I think there's more, but oh yes, oh, I want to tell how close, I am gonna tell the story because it's a beautiful story, and it's a beautiful day today, and I love my grandfather a lot, and Uncle Carl. Both, God bless your souls or have your souls. They're both no longer with us, as I said. But I am one of the last people. Oh, yeah. So at some stage, I moved to Australia, right? I think people know it. And otherwise, you can probably hear it. I lived there for a while. And I live with my family. I live with my cousin, or I think he's officially my fourth cousin or whatever, but he's my cousin. He's my bestie. Hi, Rob. I love you. And oh, yeah, and he's going to listen to my podcast because he is a builder slash carpenter slash building inspector. And he sent me a message yesterday or the day before that he's going to listen to the podcast under the roof. I think he says under the roof. He does a lot of roofing. There you go. My cousin is a roofie. That's actually what they call it in Australia, even though most people think it means something else, but no. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, Rob. I think you will. Rob knows, by the way. End of this story is I call Rob and I say to Rob, "Did you know that your opa was in Indonesia?" He says, "Yes, I have the battalion number right here." I said, "Why the fuck do I not know this?" Because I live with Rob for 4 years before I find my own. house, studio, whatever, in Australia. So I basically spend 24/7 with Rob for 4 years, and I do not know this. And that side of the family, the Australian side of the family, is close, very close, way closer than our side of the family, because it is smaller. Like, one of the siblings of my grandfather's family decides in the 50s, I think it was 52, decides to emigrate to Australia. Well, it's still a fucking retardedly long way away from the Netherlands, but at that time people, I think the boat journey, I think I'm making this up, but something in my mind says 3 or 4 months. It was a long time. It was not a 20-hour flight, for sure. So Uncle Carl decides in 1952 to go to Australia. And I think initially he's supposed to go to Sydney. That is a story I think that Uncle Carl has told me over the years. He's supposed to go to Sydney, but they stop in Fremantle, the port basically next to a city called Perth, where I live. Then later on, for almost 7 years, and he gets off the boat because he is done, does not want to be on a boat ever again in his whole life. Which is actually funny. He has been on the boat, on my parents' boat, the one that I just posted a story about, that my father finished the outside of today after apparently more than 5 years of renovation. That boat, Uncle Carl has been on it, and he probably hated it. And I know this because at some stage, Uncle Carl gets sick. He's also in his 90s. I think he's 91 or 92 at that stage. And he gets really, really, really sick, to the point that it is clear to everyone, probably even to himself, that he is not going to get out of this hospital alive again. Sad. Everyone is sad. And specifically, I think because he's like the patriarch, right? He is he's the glue between our sides of the family, because I met my cousin, Rob, the first time, fucking randomly. Oh my God, it's also such a random fucking story. Oh God, Rob. He's backpacking the world, ends up in the Netherlands, at Auntie Marianne, the person that is the receiver of all these letters from Indonesia. And I have never spoken to him before. I find out he's in the Netherlands. I call him, I say, come to Rotterdam, and we meet. Doesn't matter. It will be a separate story at some stage, but not now. So I don't know where I deviated from, but that side of the family is close. I'm just going to say that again. And oh yeah, so Uncle Carl gets very, very, very ill. And while in hospital, I think the main reason that he got admitted was that his kidneys were shutting down drastically. I think they were working like 8% or something. He was not in a good shape. And his wife, Tante Greet, or Auntie Greet, or Grace, I think even she, I think she changed her name at some stage. But okay, Tante Greet. She's also not well, as in like she's old, fragile, and she can't take care of him anymore. Every time we go to their house in Forest Field, we have to clear out the entire fridge because everything is moldy. And yeah, she wants to take care of him, but I think he's not allowed to drink more than like, I don't know, 100 or 200 milliliters, even though it's really, really, really hot in Australia. But he's not allowed to drink more than that, and it has something to do with his kidneys. And every time we get there's like cups, half-filled cups with whatever sort of liquid in them everywhere. So Uncle Carl's definitely drinking more than he is supposed to. So he gets admitted to hospital for his own sake. No, that's a joke. Uncle Carl and Auntie Grace are amazing together and separate, obviously. But he does not, he's confused. He's very confused, and he forgets his English, or I think he could still understand it, but he doesn't speak it anymore. Somehow, and I think this is a thing that happens more often to like elderly people, that just their brain just goes back to whatever default or like factory settings, I don't know. But he only speaks Dutch. So the family is happy that I'm there. The people from the hospital are happy that I'm there because they don't know what he's saying, and he seems upset or in distress. And why he is in distress and why this is important to the story is the next episode.